To the brightest audience in the country. This is Joe Scott filling in for Bob Inyard, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Okay, well, today we should have a really interesting show. But first, I want to talk about our wonderful pro-life President Bush, who's now signed into law or said that he would go along with selling over-the-counter Plan B to 18-year-olds and above. You know, it's just really disappointing to me that this has happened. One of the things that Plan B has done in other countries where it's legal, it's made the rate of gonorrhea, syphilis, chlamydia, all kinds of different sexually transmitted diseases rise exponentially. Unbelievable that we would put our children in a situation where they could be taken advantage by men also. Because the teenager can't buy it, but a pedophile can. And in New Zealand, it's known as the pedophile thrill pill. Isn't that something? That they could actually buy a pill, abuse a young girl, and then feed her the pill so that she won't pop up with a baby that can be used against him with DNA testing. So it's pretty horrible that we would even think of placing our children in this kind of danger. See, in England, abortions increased after Plan B was implemented over the counter there. And also, chlamydia went up 76%. And one thing about chlamydia is there's no symptoms for this disease until you're way into it, and it's very difficult to get rid of. Gonorrhea went up 55%. Syphilis went up 54%. And genital warts, which is HPV, went up 20%. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in this country? You know, not only are our kids being fed these horrible pills, which are hormones, all hormones are steroids. The progesterone in the Plan B is the same steroid that male athletes are forbidden by law to take, to ingest. Can you imagine that? Men can't take it, but we can feed it to our teenage girls like candy. It's amazing. And they're trying to get it so that these girls have 15, 20 pills at a time at home so they can just pop them when they need them. We're going to destroy this next generation with this kind of stuff. Today, I want to talk about homeschooling. But to do that, I have a special guest with me. Her name is Danielle Kakoa. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure and a privilege. Thanks for coming. I had your husband on this show maybe a little over a year ago.
That's right.
And on the way into the house to do into the station to do the show, he hit me with a bomb. I couldn't believe it. He said, "Well, my mother was a homosexual, Joe. Did you know that? A lesbian?" I said, "No, I didn't." And the whole show turned, and that's what we did the show on. And it turned out to be real interesting and insightful for me to see what a difference that Curtis could make in the world today, even though he comes from the background like that. Looks like we have a phone call before we even start. Okay. Let's take the phone. Hi, Maria. Nurse Maria, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. So what's up today?
Well, you were just talking about Plan B.
Yes.
Well, yesterday, Diane Hochevar, the president of Colorado Right to Life,
yes,
she was on KOA, and they had done an interview also with some nag from Planned Parenthood, who said that they want Plan B because it will prevent 800,000 abortions that they do. So is she basically admitting that if they do 800,000? That's very frightening.
Yeah, it is frightening. It's not going to eliminate much. It's going to, you know, I was there this Tuesday. The flow into Planned Parenthood this Tuesday was just unbelievable. One woman after the other, from 7:45 in the morning to 1:00, and most of them, if not all of them, were RU 486.
Unbelievable.
Just tragic.
And what people don't realize is that birth control pills in themselves increase people's risk for blood clots and stroke.
That's right.
And also, if you're taking them, most doctors won't prescribe them if you smoke. So is Planned Parenthood going to do a thorough job and evaluate whether or not people smoke, they have a history of clotting?
Forget Planned Parenthood. Walmart. Walmart. Are they going to do a background check on these girls that go in?
Of
course not.
And then what's the long-term effect of taking this 40 times the dose of a regular birth control pill? What's the long-term effect of doing that?
Nobody knows.
No, of course not.
Unfortunately.
They don't really care. And if they really cared, they wouldn't have rushed to put this out on the market that way.
If they cared, they wouldn't have put our girls in harm's way like they have. I mean,
exactly.
Pedophiles are going to be at in line at drugstores in very, very soon, I'm sure.
Of course.
Well, Maria, thanks for calling in and helping. I actually saw a little note in my email today from you. You got quoted in a magazine, didn't you?
Yes, misquoted, though. All they did was bring up my complaints about pedophiles having access to the medication. They didn't bring up any of the health concerns.
Right.
But they noticed that, they noted I was a nurse practitioner, but they didn't talk about any health issues, which I thought was rather silly.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
That's okay.
Thanks for calling, Maria.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye. So, Danielle, you can see how dangerous Plan B is, can't you?
I can see that. Part of the safe sex curriculum, I'm sure, that they're teaching at the government schools now, teaching the kids how to have sex safely.
Oh, yeah. Say, yeah.
This would be a great alternative in case if there was an accident that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Just take Plan B. Everything would be taken care of.
Life will be sweet again.
Mm-hmm.
Danielle, you have a blog. What's your blog?
I have a couple that I operate, but one specifically called Bureaucratic Daycare.
Yes.
And that's at bureaucraticdaycare.blogspot.com. And it's dedicated to warning Christian parents to pull their kids out of the public school before their minds and souls are destroyed.
Well, that's a good purpose to have. And I've got in front of me a picture of the product of the public school. And it's a picture of you, and I can't even believe it. If you don't know Danielle, you would know. If you met Danielle today, you would never believe that this is a picture of her. She's got long, flowing red hair. She's the picture of femininity. And I've got a picture in front of me, and she's got short, chopped, bleach blonde hair. She's got one of those cowl rings in her nose. It looks like several ear piercings and a highly sexualized look on your face. I mean, it's just, I would never believe it's you, Danielle. I can't believe this. But this was you in your senior year.
That's right.
That
was the product of several years of indoctrination, completely hardened my heart, no morals or values at all.
12 years to be exact.
Mm-hmm.
In the ninth grade, you became pregnant, or the eighth grade?
That's right. In ninth grade, I was actually sitting inside a health classroom learning about safe sex and learning how to put condoms on and whatnot, and kind of goofing off in class. Didn't think anything would happen to me. Later on that year, I was pregnant.
Right. So, and you kept your baby.
I did keep my baby.
She's an adorable little girl,
mm-hmm.
I remember. I've met her. She's a doll. Now you have, besides Alina, you have Kiera.
Akira Lee and Hannah.
Three
girls all together.
And they're both adorable also. So you've dedicated a big part of the time every day into educating your own children at home.
That's
even
right.
Even though they're young.
Mm-hmm.
You have done that. And you said something to me earlier that was really kind of interesting. You don't bring the school into your home. You do what?
That's right. I think a lot of parents have a misconception about homeschooling, and they are frightened by the fact that they're just not qualified, and they just don't think that they can compete with the kind of curriculum or schooling hours that the public school provides. So they think they have to bring the school into the home and, sit at a desk for 8 hours a day, do mindless, work that really doesn't mean anything. But what you have to do, what homeschooling is really all about, is bringing learning within the home environment, just creating a learning environment within the home. And it's not all about academics. The most important thing with homeschooling is training our children in the ways of the Lord and building character, teaching them to be obedient, to love each other, to respect authority, and then the academics will follow with ease. There's so much confusion with homeschooling because a lot of the parents are lazy, actually, and they don't want to take the time that it takes to educate their children at home. But we only get one shot to raise our kids, and Christian parents especially need to follow God's rules and give their children an exclusively Christian education. And God's design is for the family to be together, not to rip your children away, to be indoctrinated or educated at a pagan seminary.
That's right. Now, I know that your children are young.
That's right.
They're young. So instead of teaching academics exactly right now, you are teaching character. And if your children have been inculcated with character and respect for one another and themselves and you, when it comes time for you to teach them, they're going to be obedient. They're going to know what no means.
That's
and
right.
And they'll learn. They've already learned how to listen.
That's right. And they already are learning how to read and how to do math and stuff. And even though my youngest are only 2 and 3, they're already picking this up. I teach my older one. But we just do learning all throughout the day. And they love learning. They're not forced to sit still, to learn about things that they're not interested in. They're not segregated by age in these group settings where the environment's mostly hostile, and the teacher does not have the time to give the necessary attention one-on-one to make sure the children are learning. They all have different learning styles and abilities, and you have to know your children and know what works for them. But really, teaching them the most important thing is to love God and to know where we came from, that we were created, we didn't evolve, that we're special and we're created in His image, and to know our surroundings, that God is the ultimate authority and that he's the one that we need to be following. And we'll learn math and we'll learn reading and writing and all that stuff that comes with it. But if we don't acknowledge our Creator, then nothing else matters.
Well, just at this young age, learning that they're special and that God loves them and that not just they are special, but their sisters are special and their parents are special in God's eyes and loved by Him, that would just automatically teach them respect.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, anybody who knows my kids, and you do, you will see that they're the most happy, well-adjusted kids, really, that we know. They're very happy. They're intelligent for their age.
Well, you attend the same church that we do.
That's right.
So I see you sitting with the kids in church, and I happen to love your kids. But we've brought people that don't know you to church, and they've sat with us, and they keep saying, "Boy, those little ones are so quiet.
That's right.
How do they do it?" And I said, "Well, they belt them. Whenever they move, they just belt them. They beat them on a regular basis for no reason." And they believe it.
Yeah.
No, they're raising their children correctly. Their children understand what no means.
That's right. And then, you know, we do follow through with consequences. We train them according to biblical standards. We do. You know, punish them, spank them when it's necessary, and we train them up in the ways of the Lord that God instructed us to do. And it's amazing. It works. It really does. We don't negotiate with toddlers. We don't ask them about their feelings or if they want to do something. They understand our authority, and they don't question it. And kids in school don't learn that. There's no respect for authority in the school, so naturally it's chaos, and nobody learns.
And nobody has learned what no means. In fact, little toddlers need to be taught what they should be feeling and what they shouldn't be feeling. They can get very angry, and if they believe that that's the way they should feel in a certain circumstance, you can create a monster.
That's right, and that's what we see around us, little monsters everywhere.
Yeah, unfortunately. So in your experience, I know you have this blog that's up. Are you getting a lot of positive feedback on your blog for homeschooling, or are you getting a lot of people who are fighting you?
I would say it's probably half and half. A lot of people don't understand homeschooling. They're quick to criticize me, giving me, you know, the typical questions. What about their socialization, and how dare you, you know, you're not qualified, and, you know, what kind of misfits are they going to be being homeschooled? And obviously they're uneducated. They don't really know what kind of children come out of homeschooling families. You know, the academics, socialization skills, most homeschooled kids excel far beyond public school.
Well, what about socialization, Danielle? Just exactly how do you socialize your children?
Well, what about socialization?
You've got them boarded up in your house all day and you don't let them communicate with anyone else in the world. How are they ever going to fit in?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say, when people ask me what about socialization, that's the very reason why I don't send my kids to public school.
Yes.
Because I do not want my kids to learn that kind of socialization where drugs and sex and hostility and peer pressure are rampant, where there's constant competition and group mentality and a situation that just creates misfits and creates delinquents. That's not the kind of socialization I want for my kids 8 hours a day away from my home that cannot function in society.
I was reading a blurb on your on your blog where you said if you wanted to create that kind of an atmosphere, you just get cable and let them have a TV in their own room.
That's right. If I want them to be indoctrinated with all the perversion and humanistic values, I'll just put cable in their room and let them be, and let Hollywood indoctrinate them, which is real similar to what the government schools are doing. But what we do for socialization, first of all, I run a home daycare center, so I have small children in my care all day where they're able to play and socialize with other kids. But we do outings. We go to the grocery store. We interact with people in the neighborhood. We go and socialize with a variety of different people, not just segregated by age, only their age group, or they're only allowed to be with people their own age and expected to learn proper socialization. We learn socialization by going to church and interacting. And just the warmth environment of the home builds their self-esteem and gives them the confidence that they need to learn how to be sociable and to communicate with adults rather than just children.
Right. Amy's on the phone. Amy, hello.
I just wanted to say thank you for having this topic once again, because my kids are 2.5 and 4.5. And we already started homeschooling with the 4.5-year-old, and we started with the Bob Jones University curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And they have K kindergarten for 4-year-olds and kindergarten for 5-year-olds, and we did the K-5 because he already knew a lot that was in there. And from early on, I just wanted to say that he knew his ABCs and his numbers and all that early on, and by the time he was, 3 to 3.5, he knew how to write his name.
That's great, Amy.
Now he knows how to do his home phone number, his address, and all that. And he's even learning how to memorize scripture verses. He knows Genesis 1 through 6 already.
Well, and, Amy, let me ask you a question. Do you have other children at home, more than one child?
Well, I have the 2.5-year-old.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he hears the older one memorizing the scripture verse, Genesis 1:1-6, and it's great. And he, I'm starting to teach him how to do a few things, too.
So, Amy, you have 2 children at home. You're homeschooling. Do you feel totally overwhelmed and unable to cope with life as you used to know it before children?
Well, it's very difficult at times to do the homeschooling if they don't want to listen to you. But you just got to put your foot down and let them know that this is schooling time. And sometimes when the younger one's asleep, then I'll do some of the schoolwork for the older child so that we get it all in. But the younger one does see, and he does interact and does some things also, so that he's not totally left out with nothing to do.
Well, thanks, Amy. It's great to have your input.
Yes, and also, if we need a break, we have the sandbox in the backyard. We go have some sandbox time or go on the swings or whatever they need to do for recess time. But, yeah, it's great. And then we also have some other homeschooling projects we do, you know, and we're part of a homeschool group at the library that's a Christian group. And so they are out there. Check your library for all the different activities they have. They have wonderful homeschooling sections in the children's department. It's wonderful. And we do things throughout the year with a homeschool group that we just love. They have geography time. They have science time one time. They do a World's Fair.
That's
it's
great.
Wonderful.
Amy, thanks for your input.
So
we really appreciate it. Okay, well,
thank you
for letting us know about those. Thanks.
Yeah, praise the Lord. That's one thing with homeschooling is there's so much flexibility with it. We're not confined to 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. You can work it in your day. You can work it in your schedule. You can take family vacations together. And the priority is our children. And you have to, the only qualifications you need is to love your children. And if you love your kids enough, you'll make it work. And children thrive in a home environment. That's what God's design was to be. It was to be with the family. And kids will learn in the best environment that suited for them, and that's in the home.
So what do you say to people that say to you, you're not qualified, and, you know, right now you have little kids, but soon, a lot sooner than you think, you're going to have teenagers. what will you do then?
Well, first of all, the teachers at school aren't qualified, so I really don't have much competition there. But I am qualified because I love my kids. And the great thing about homeschooling is that you can learn right along with your kids.
That's right.
I'm a product of the public school, and I graduated with A's and B's, but I didn't know much about history. My spelling and grammar wasn't very good. I hardly learned anything about science or anything. I didn't learn much, but I sure learned how to have sex, and I sure learned a lot about drugs, and I sure learned a lot about how to disrespect authority. But the great thing about it is you just learn right along with your kids, and you can hire a tutor if you need to. The internet is an endless supply of information. It's a Google click away, type in anything you want to know. You learn right along with your kids, and you make it work. And the possibilities are endless. There really is nothing that can hold you back. There are homeschooling groups. There's other things, like Amy said.
Well, I taught Christian school in San Diego, but I was always pushing homeschool because I think homeschool is way better than mm-hmm. Christian school. But one of the things that we had in San Diego for the homeschoolers was there's a Grace Homeschool Association in San Diego where if you didn't know calculus, there was a parent that did.
Exactly.
And he'd teach a class, and mm-hmm. you'd take your child to that class.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the parents just socialized while the kids were learning
mm-hmm.
or took the class with the kids so they didn't have to take the next child.
That's right.
And it worked out really well. They went to one class rather than 12 or, 8 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
12 years worth.
Yeah. And yeah. you get involved in a community, and there's going to be people that specialize in certain categories. You know, one may be a biology expert. One may know something else that you don't know about. And then you just get connected and you all work together within the body to help each other out. But again, like I want to say, academics is only a side issue here. If you cannot teach the children truth, right from wrong, what good is the academics? Our public school system is failing miserably academics. Anybody can see that. Children are graduating that can't read or write, and they don't even know what truth is. Everything's relative. So what good does it do if you have an education? You even pay for college, go to a nice university, and you graduate not knowing if there's an absolute truth.
And you become a scientist that doesn't know if he really exists
exactly.
or not. Just like that scientist that Bob met. He can't even say that he exists, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, I've met some people like that.
Yeah. Because
that would be an absolute statement. And we sure don't want to admit any absolutes because then there might be right or wrong.
I've met some brilliant kids, products of the public school system. They're brilliant,
mm-hmm.
but they have no morals.
Right.
And they have no, but they don't believe in absolutes. They mm-hmm. have no morals. So they're brilliant and they're dangerous.
That's right.
Because they're released on society and their own peers, and they're teaching them horrible things. People look up to them and they listen to them because they can actually think, but they've been taught to think in a circle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've essentially been brainwashed in the public school, indoctrinated with lies. The entire system is a bunch of lies. And I remember graduating, and once I became a Christian and I was interested in learning the truth, I felt so robbed that I had been lied to my entire life through school. And not only did I graduate looking like a complete punk and having my character completely smeared, no morals at all, I had to relearn everything. And ever since I graduated, I've learned tons. I mean, I've studied and I learned things that I care about, and I take time to do a website to educate other people about the truth and about how important it is to...
And what is your website again?
Bureaucraticdaycare.blogspot.com.
Okay. I had to do the same thing. I got out of school and I had to relearn history because I started reading things that mm-hmm. didn't match up with what I had been taught in school, and I thought, well, somebody's lying.
Mm-hmm.
So I started studying, and I realized I was taught junk.
That's right.
Just junk, and I had to relearn history.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. And then I realized that it was so important. If you don't understand history, you don't know what your future is going to be like.
That's right.
And it really turned me around, is to learn that my teaching had been totally wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I could be totally wrong in the area of history— what else could I be wrong about?
Yeah.
Maybe religion?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, in the public school system, they say that it's neutral, that it's religiously neutral, but it's not. It's a humanistic playground. The indoctrination that goes on is secular humanism, and Christian parents send their children to this educational system that is teaching them another religion other than Christianity. It's essentially indoctrinating them.
But Danielle, they're a light in a dark place.
Yeah. It's a really, really dark place. And their light is being extinguished because you cannot spiritually survive in a hostile environment that is not only violent and corruption, but you cannot be a light in such a dark place. These kids are not lights. These kids are leaving the school. They're having children out of wedlock. They're coming out with drug problems, and the light is not working. The light is extinguished, and they're leaving the faith by the time they graduate.
Well, we don't send 8-year-olds to Iraq either. They're not equipped.
That's right.
And this is an equivalent analogy because these kids are little. They're
That's
precious.
Right.
They've been home, and you're sending them into an environment with other children who have been just never told no, allowed to run wild.
Yeah.
Language is foul.
That's right.
I hear stuff out of little children's mouths that I don't hear out of adults'
That's
mouths.
Right. And that's all you hear in the hallways. The entire system is corrupt. And when you send a child in there, they're doomed to fail. Jesus never sent children out to be disciples. When he said, "Go ye into all the nations and make disciples," he was speaking to grown men who were his disciples. They were not small children. Children are still in training, and they need to be in the care of their parents and the loving guidance of their parents to train them up diligently from the time they rise to the time they go down, not before school and after school or maybe perhaps Sunday for 1 hour at Sunday school. That's not equivalent. That's not going to be enough to undo the damage, the 35 to 40 hours a week they're being indoctrinated with humanism.
Well, there's no way. And in a lot of churches, the Sunday schools aren't worth a whole lot either.
No, they're not.
You have to be very careful about what school you're going to put your, not what Sunday school you're going to put your child in also, and that's only 1 hour a week. And a lot of parents are real diligent. You know, we don't want to go to that church because they teach this, and we don't want to go to that church because they teach this, but we're sending our kids to the public school.
They have no problem kissing them goodbye for 8 hours a day and expecting them to spiritually survive. It's not going to happen.
No, it won't not. Peer pressure wins every time.
That's right. And I'm evidence of that. And thankfully, the Lord saved me a couple years after I graduated. But you saw the picture. And you can just imagine the kind of lifestyle. I had a child when I was 15. I developed a couple drug habits, picked up all kinds of bad habits, you know, shoplifting.
So what are some of the tools that you use, Danielle, to help you learn about child care and teaching kids at home and all that? What are some of the tools?
Well, one of the main books that was revolutionary in our teaching was To Train Up a Child by Michael and Debbie Pearl. And it really just reinforced everything that we already knew, but gave us specific techniques on how we can train our children to be obedient.
Because you just don't pull everything out of the air. You've got to learn because you haven't learned that.
That's right. I never learned any of this. So, you know, have to study, of course, in the Word. That's the number one. But To Train Up a Child was very good. I also read a book, The Harsh Truth About Public Schools by Bruce Short. That was very eye-opening and a recommended reading for all parents, Christian or not, to see the reality within the schools.
Yeah, that's, and you have to, it hits you pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
When you've been in it, you've been indoctrinated, so you get saved, and then you have to look back and see how you're going to deal with things. It hits you pretty hard when you realize everything that's been done. All right, we have to take a break now. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-NYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Well, we're back. Back with Danielle Kakoa. She's a homeschooling mom that has some great ideas about pulling kids out of the public schools, especially if we're Christian. And also, Danielle's husband has been on this show in the past, too. So we've had the whole family now, except for the kids, and I'm sure they'll be on here singing one day. Danielle, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
So over the break, our producer found this public education theme song, and I got such a kick out of it. We're going to play it.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took.
Yeah, that's classic. That's pretty much the case for every public school student. They really don't know much about anything.
Well, what made our producer even think about it is what you said. Yeah. I didn't know much about school at all.
That's true. They didn't teach you the basics. And if they did, it was so convoluted with so much that was already going on in the classroom. And your mind is elsewhere when you only think about sex and drugs and what you're going to do in between class or after school. There's really no interest in learning academics in that kind of environment.
Danielle, what do you say to someone that tells you, well, my child is in a class with a Christian teacher?
Yeah, that really makes me laugh, actually, because in the government school, even if there is a Christian teacher, the teachers are forbidden by the state to teach anything about Christianity. So it's really a lost cause, and it's a joke. It really is. And that one teacher is not going to be an influence on your child. That teacher, if the teacher is a good Christian and is called in the ministry to be a witness, that's the teacher's job if they're called into that duty. But it's not a children's job to be salt and light in the Christian schools. If anyone's going to be salt and light, it should be the teachers, but that's just not happening. If we take a look at any of the government schools around here, we can clearly see that there's no Christian influence at all. So one teacher is not going to make a difference.
It's just 1 year.
That's right.
Out of all 12.
Exactly.
You get 1 year, and usually when your child is very young.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what about the moms who have to work, single moms, and they can't stay home, obviously, and to take care of the homeschooling in their family?
Yeah, it's single moms, it really is a tragedy. Of course, the ideal situation would be for children to be in a home where the parents are married and the mother could stay home full time. But we live in a world where divorce is rampant. There are a lot of single moms out there. I think it really is the church's responsibility. If the church and the body of Christ in general would focus on the needs of family and the education of children, we could all come together and help each other out. And those women who have to be forced in the workplace, that perhaps some of the other single or the other mothers, the Christian moms, could help out with the children, could help with the education. But I actually do know some single moms that homeschool their kids. They work nights, they do something, they make other arrangements for the kids to be with the grandparents part of the time, and they do keep them out of the public school. And so it really is a matter of priority, what the parents really want to do. And so, you know, obviously no situation is ideal, but if you really want to do things the way the Lord has instructed, he will set your path straight. Like Proverbs says, you know, you commit your ways to the Lord and he will set your path straight. And the body of Christ really needs to step up and come together and help those in need, like the single moms. But what about the parents that both work, you know, that they are married and the kids still go to public school? What if they do have the resources and enough money, but they're still sending their kids to public school? What's the excuse?
Well, a lot of people like their toys.
That's right.
And their exotic vacations, mm-hmm, and their $200 shoes.
That's right.
Now, and if we're Christians, what should our priority be?
That's right. Well, Jesus says to seek first the kingdom of God and to make him first a priority. So when people say that I cannot afford to homeschool, I cannot afford, you know, not to send my kids to this free education, this free establishment, you know, where they're supposedly going to get educated, you have to really question what their priorities are. What kind of brand new cars are you driving? What kind of credit card debt do you have? How many times do you go out to eat? Do you have cable television? What size house do you have? Really, what are the priorities? And if our children are a priority and we really care about their education and their character, then we will make it work.
Those shoes will wear out.
That's
your
right.
Your house will need paint, but your children won't develop correctly unless we teach them.
That's right. And yeah, diligently teach them all throughout the day, not just part-time. Parents really need to take a full-time job and teaching and training their children.
That's right. And you have a real special situation with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
I know your oldest daughter,
mm-hmm,
Alina. She is special education. She needs special education, doesn't
she? That's right.
And so you had her in the public school before you became a Christian, right?
That's right. I was still a Christian, and I was noticing things I was noticing things that were going wrong within the public school, and actually listening to Bob's show, hearing him mock the system, the public school system, really just reinforced everything I already knew just growing up in the system, and it really was an inspiration to pull her out. But I started volunteering at the school just to get a little hands-on to see what was going on, and I did not like what I was seeing with the care. I mean, my child has special needs. She's supposed to receive one-on-one teaching with a special ed teacher. And in order for her to even receive this teaching, because she couldn't sit still, they had to pump her full of Ritalin. Like with so many of the other kids that are bouncing off the wall that aren't special needs, just it's rampant with the kids that are on drugs, that they have to be on these drugs in order to sit still because there is no discipline, there is no self-control, there are no real rules or boundaries or respect for authority. So these kids are all pumped full of drugs, and it's a hostile, dangerous environment. And I didn't know any better. You know, I trust them. They're the experts, right? So yeah. I trusted that they knew what was best for my child. So I complied with them until I started opening my eyes and really seeing what was going on.
Pulled her out. When you first gave Alina the drug, it was Ritalin, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So she would sit still.
Yeah.
And it seemed nice in the beginning,
exactly.
I suppose. But then was she more or less like a zombie?
She was a lot like a zombie. And I didn't know anything about the drug. No one told me the long-term side effects, which they don't know. But they didn't tell me that these kind of drugs are psychotropic drugs that are the equivalent to heroin or morphine. And they're heavy-duty drugs, and they're pumping my little child, who barely weighs 50 pounds, they're making it mandatory for her to take these drugs in order to attend school. And that was one of probably a million reasons why we decided to pull her out. But just the safety aspect, she could easily get gang raped or assaulted at school, not be able to tell me what was going on. And just the academics was a joke. I mean, I sat in on their math class. Teacher tells everyone to pull out their calculators so they can learn their multiplication tables instead of actually using their brain and memorizing these numbers. They're punching it in on a calculator.
Oh, wow.
And that was just a number of things. But I became more aware of what was going on, and just my own experience was enough to wake me up.
So first you became a Christian,
mm-hmm.
and then you were listening to Bob,
mm-hmm.
and you realized the public school system isn't working for my child or any other child.
That's right.
And you pulled her out, and
mm-hmm.
then you got the resources, like Train Up a Child.
Mm-hmm.
By Michael and Debbie Pearl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That really helped. Just being reinforced is talking to other homeschooling moms. I actually have an aunt who had passed away now, but she raised all four of my cousins, homeschooled them all through high school. And they're the most intelligent, well-socialized people that I know. They're solid in their faith. They never wavered on anything. They were all virgins on their wedding day, married in their late 20s, real solid in the Lord, and knew far more about academics than I could ever dream of. And that was evidence. It was evidence. It was the fruit of her labors, diligently training her children in the ways of the Lord from the time they rose up to the time they went to bed, all throughout the day. And just seeing the product of that was a great inspiration, and then being encouraged by Bob's ministry as well.
When you saw your aunt training her children before you were a Christian, what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was absurd. I thought I could not believe that she would ever do that to my cousins. What kind of kids are they going to be? They're going to be social misfits. You know, they're so sheltered, and how terrible. I actually despised it. I would, you know, what I am today is the exact opposite of what I ever would dreamed of. Me being a homeschooling mom, a Christian, that was the furthest thing from my agenda. I really just wanted to live a life as an atheist, and I would never dream of homeschooling my kids because I thought that was the worst possible thing. And I didn't know.
And
obviously.
Actually, you were the misfit.
I was the misfit. I turned out to be the biggest misfit of all. And it was quite a contrast to look at my cousins and then to see my product, the end result of me graduating, you know, body piercings, tattoos, just out of control. And as I became a Christian and really wanted to follow the Lord, I wanted to be obedient to him, and I wanted to learn his ways and his instructions on training children and teaching them in the ways of the Lord and in the fear and admonition of the Lord to train them up right. And I really, really wanted to do that. I know I learned from my parents' mistakes, you know, divorce and growing up in the public school system. I learned what not to do. And so that's the best thing I could take from that, because I really was the exception to the rule. Most kids will not make it and come to the Lord or see the reality of it all and come to the truth.
Not until they really have gone around the Pike a couple of times. But I also know that you have a babysitter, or not really a babysitter, but a young girl that comes and helps you. She's about 13.
Yeah, one of the children that I watch, a three-year-old, it's her older sister, and she comes just to kind of help out. She was having some problems at home and stuff, so I encourage the parents to just send her my way so I can kind of help her out a little bit and just, you know, maybe give her some counsel and listen to her side of the story. And she, you know, she, of course, goes to public school. And I'm trying to encourage the parents to, you know, the situation works out, her dad's actually going to Iraq. So if the situation ever works out in the near future, I know it would be the mom's first choice to pull her kids out of public school and homeschool. But sometimes the situation just doesn't allow for that. But, you know, she's going on 13 years old, and she tells me the experiences she has just in the hallways, just how much she's sexually harassed. You know, boys touching her body parts, making comments, you know, constant sexual harassment.
And when we were talking about this earlier, I was shocked that if the boy gropes her, mm-hmm, he gets a ticket.
Yeah, a ticket. They have, of course, every public school now has to have a mandatory officer on duty on the campus, you know, because there's so much violence and crime going on. But instead of, you know, punishing him like if you were in a work situation, if a man was sexually assaulting a woman or sexually harassing her, he'd probably get fired. But they give these boys a $20 ticket, and he's gotten three tickets. Nothing's happened to him. He continues to harass other girls.
What do you mean a $20 ticket?
Just a fine, a ticket.
His family has to pay $20.
The parents pay $20, and he's free to go.
Oh, well, the school can make money off of this.
Exactly.
It can be pretty lucrative.
Mm-hmm.
So the boy gets a $20 ticket. Mm-hmm. Family pays for it. He's no worse for the where the girl, if she's incensed, mm-hmm, by being groped, and if she slapped the guy in the face, really a good one, which he would deserve, what, mm-hmm, would happen?
Well, hopefully she would get suspended, which would be the best thing that would happen to her. But I don't really know what the punishment would be, but it would be a lot harsher than what his was. She wouldn't get a ticket, that's for sure.
What kind of a message would that send to the kids? It's okay to grope, but only
costs
you $20, and your parents have to pay it.
Yeah.
But if she slaps you back, she's in more trouble than
exactly.
you are. So why not grope?
I know, exactly.
Unbelievable.
And there is no standard of right or wrong anyway, and they're so sexualized at such an early age. And, you know, most of the girls, they like that kind of attention, and they ask for it. They dress like sluts. They promote sexual immorality. They learn it in the classrooms. And so naturally, these kids, you know, they all act like animals. They're taught that they evolved from animals. They evolved from slime. They're nothing more than just animals. So what do we expect? They act like animals, and they act like, you know, sexually over-sexualized beings that just cannot contain themselves.
Well, they haven't been taught to contain themselves.
Mm-mm.
But at the same time, they have no idea what they're asking for.
No, not at all.
When they start living this lifestyle, horrible things can happen, mm-hmm, to them. And the consequences last their entire lifetime and sometimes even into eternity.
Exactly.
And it's not a good thing to be doing with our kids.
Mm-mm.
Plan B is going to make it even worse.
That's right.
I mean, what do you want to bet that most teenage boys will have that in their pocket?
Oh, I'm sure.
And not most teenage girls.
I'm sure. It'll be the next condom. We no longer need to worry about wearing condoms, which don't work, by the way. Yeah. But here's the plan B. So what does that encourage? It encourages more sex. It encourages these kids, you know, well, they're going to do it anyway, so let's teach them how to do it safely. And I was telling you earlier, if we're going to have that kind of mindset, teaching these kids safe sex, which is not safe, it's one of the most deadliest things that could happen, and all these diseases could be preventable if you just stop having sex and you wait until you're married. But if these kids are going to do it anyway, well, let's teach them how to do drugs safely. They're going to do it anyway, right? They're going to drink anyway, right? So let's teach them how to drink and drive safely and to shoot the needle in their arm safely.
Well,
it's the same kind of mindset.
Well, they are doing that now because they're handing out clean needles in some states.
Oh.
You know, I talk to girls all the time, and they tell me, you know, I just have to have safe sex, and tell them the same thing. There's no such thing as safe, but we're going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, murderers are going to do it anyway. Should we give them new knives?
Exactly. And the reality is they're not going to do it anyway, because if they are taught from an early age,
that's true.
If they're taught what is right and what is wrong, and that sex is something sacred and that it should be saved until marriage, that girls should not let boys use them and toss them out with yesterday's garbage. If girls actually respected themselves, and boys were taught to respect women and to actually value sex within marriage, if that was such a thing that was taught in schools, they wouldn't just be doing it anyway.
Well, schools don't even need to teach that. They
Mm-mm.
need to teach math and reading and
exactly.
science and geography and all that stuff that
mm-hmm.
they don't know much about anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about the homosexual agenda in the public schools, especially when it comes to the girls.
Mm-hmm.
I know you know a little bit about that, but first, we found kind of the theme song for the public education system for the homosexual agenda.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow.
Odds are.
Odds are. That's so true. And the homosexual agenda is rampant in the public schools, too. It wasn't so much enforced, you know, 10 years ago when I was there. But, it, you know, it's starting as early as kindergarten now to indoctrinate these kids with this perverted mindset.
I know that in California, as we speak, Governor Schwarzenegger has four bills on his desk about homosexuality and how it's going to be taught in the public schools.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a political battle rather than a moral battle. And he said he would veto these bills, and he's capitulating now. So, and it's because there are elections coming and there's money that's needed. And if he has the homosexual on his side,
mm-hmm.
he's going to get a lot further than making them angry. And how dare we even put children in a position where their wholesomeness, their health, their safety is on the line because somebody wants a vote.
Exactly. And why do we even need to teach about homosexuality anyway? Why do we need to if it's something that's so natural and people are born with, why do we need to teach and indoctrinate these kids and to have them embrace these values of tolerance and diversity into accepting this kind of lifestyle and to promote it, to really encourage these kids to follow this lifestyle? And never before in history were so many teenagers bisexual or homosexual.
Not in the history of the United States.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I know that you had decided that you were a bisexual in your early years.
Yeah, it was probably my junior, senior year. It was real trendy, of course, and hot, you know, for girls to be with other girls and stuff. And I had already been so promiscuous and starting at seventh grade, you know, real early on, you know, being promiscuous with guys. And it just got bored after a while. And, you know, there's just so much you can do and you just have to keep taking it to the next level, more perverse, more extreme. You know, you got to get involved with pornography and all kinds of other things. And that was exactly what was going on in school. Everybody was doing it. Everyone's doing it. And this is the next step. And in order to fit in order to be accepted, let's take it to the next level of perversity and become bisexual or, you know, be a lesbian altogether. And, you know, and you'd get burned by men so many times. You end up hating men and you want to be a lesbian. You know, and that's, you know, why the majority of lesbians are not born that way. Obviously, no homosexual is born that way, but it's not because they like women necessarily, but it's because they hate men.
Right. Well, young men are not taught at all in any way, shape, or form anymore to respect a woman. They're taught that women are the same as they are.
Mm-hmm.
And little boys are pretty nasty.
Yeah.
You know, and as they grow without respect for women, it doesn't bother them in the least to be disrespectful or even use them.
Mm-mm.
You know, we see that. I see it on a daily basis. At
mm-hmm.
the abortion clinic, you see this really rotten guy who just has filth flowing out of his mouth, bringing in this demure little girl, mm-hmm. practically dragging her in. Now, she may think she's getting out of a tough situation today,
mm-hmm.
but in a couple years when she's a little older and she realized they're just using me.
That's right.
And I've killed my child and I can't forget about this. That's where it starts to really culminate into a real solid hate for men. And
mm-hmm.
and it's not helping us perpetuate families the
no.
way we know them anyway.
Yeah, well, it probably started in the home with the parents being divorced and
right.
not having a father at home. That's usually what pushes a lot of girls into having sex at such an early age. I know that was true for me with my father leaving so young. You're desperate for attention. You're desperate for that fatherly love, that connection from a man. So it's an easy way to get that attention by giving yourself away. And, you know, boys are real quick to want to use the girls and you get this mixed message of sex and love. And there's so much confusion going on. And And the girls, they just cheapen themselves. The more they give themselves away, the less likely they are able to make that lifetime commitment with someone. And the value within themselves just decreases with every man that they sleep with.
They feel less and less worthy.
That's right.
As each time they come to another affair or illicit relationship with a man and they're thrown away or they throw the man away, it doesn't mm-hmm. matter. Their inside tells them that they're not as good as they used to be.
That's right. And why should they even think that they are good? Because they learn in school that they're worth nothing, that they're nothing more than animals. Of course, they don't learn that they're created in the image of God. So there really is no internal value that these boys and girls that they feel. We're all animals. Let's just act like animals. Why do we expect anything else out of these kids when we teach them that they evolved from slime? We cannot expect anything else.
That's right. Nothing.
Nothing.
Because we have no one to be accountable to. Mm-mm. We are the be-all and the end-all of our universe. And if at the end of time, at the end of your life, you just go back to the dust, what difference does it make who you hurt, who you took advantage
of? That's right.
What kind of a pervert you become.
That's right. And well, there's no standard of right and wrong. There's no system that we need to follow. There's no standard of righteousness. So who's to say what's wrong? You can't tell me homosexuality is wrong. So who are you to say? Who are you to judge? You can't say there is no right or wrong. So if I want to be promiscuous and sleep with as many men as I want, who are you to tell me it's wrong? And what standard are we going by anyway?
And that's a valid argument if there's no God.
Exactly. And that's exactly what these kids learn in school, that there is no God. Mm-hmm. And so what do you expect? Do we expect these kids to behave with morals and values?
Well, of course they're not, because they're the be-all and the end-all of their universe. But I know we only have a couple of minutes left, but one of the theories that I have is these women that are molesting boys in schools and having sex with them and having their babies, one of the things that I think kind of ties in with something you just said, that they've done it all. They've been in all kinds of situations with men and they're on their way. There's nothing left for them.
Exactly.
And so the only taboo mm-hmm. left is a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get national notoriety. And I think they're perverted to start with because of mm-hmm. everything they've been through. That this is not something that's going to go away any too quickly.
Yeah, and there's an increased number of female teachers that are molesting these kids in addition to the male teachers. But if anybody wants to do a Google search, or what they can do is sign up for news alerts to find out just exactly how many pedophiles and child molesters are working in the schools in your neighborhood. You could sign up for Google alerts, type in keywords, teacher, student, school, public school, any of those, and in your email box, it will be sent directly to your inbox about how many kids are being molested by these teachers, and it's overwhelming.
You did that, didn't you?
I did do that. My husband and I did that.
You had to stop it, didn't
you? It was out of control. One teacher after another, sex assault after sex assault, rape, assault, child being molested, another one after the other was out of control. And yes, parents, it is the school in your neighborhood. So don't say it's my school is fine. The neighborhood that we live in is great. It's all schools. All public schools are bad.
You're right, Danielle. All public schools are bad. And if you think that you're in a great school, even Christian schools have bad characters in them.
Mm-hmm.
I know I taught them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what it took for me to keep my kids away from the characters that were bad. And I taught there. I was there every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an easy thing. God, like Danielle has said over and over during the show, God has told us to educate our own kids, not tear them out of the family and put them in an environment away from you where someone else can teach them.
That's right.
The
best hope we have for our future is for parents to take responsibility and educate their kids in the ways of the Lord in their home, not send them to a pagan seminary to be educated.
That's right. I hope that Christians catch on to this soon, because if they don't,
we're doomed.
We're doomed.
We really are. And our kids are the most important things. It's a precious gift from God, and we should really treasure that. And we only get one shot. We better do it right.
Folks, call 1-800-8-NYAR in order to train up a child by Michael and Debbie Pearl, and also order The Harsh Truth About Public Schools. If you doubt anything we say, you're going to find it here. Please call 1-800-8-NYAR.